జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహరాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి వృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు వంశీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీశీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బుధులే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం లీనమహం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి ఉదయోస్తవ జాయతే తదా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్వం నోయద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరదస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైశ్వరై సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభిః తక్షణాత్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖానమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాంతమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొణిదాదృదాననిందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవిందపరమాణవే నమః
പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
The 13th chapter, what we were discussing last Sunday, is the most important chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam. Why? Because Krishna has come and spoken Hamsa Gita there, isn't it? So, as you know, that the question came up in the mind of the Kumaras. Kumaras has got this doubt. And they asked the question, Gunesh avishata chedo gunas chedasija prabho katham anyunyam samtyago mumuksho adititirshoho. That their question was that the mind goes outwardly and engages with the sense objects. In response to that, the sense objects create some desires inside us, what is known as vasanas. Vasanas are created inside. How do we separate these two things? This was the question. So, for such a person, Kumara says there, mumukshoho adititirshoho. Mumukshoho means one who has got intense desire to get out of this body once for all, to free oneself from the bodily identity. He is a mumukshu. Mumukshu means one who is very intensely wants to escape from this bodily identity. He is mumukshu, isn't it? That attachment to the body, which is our greatest entanglement in this world, we want to free ourselves from that bondage. And such a person who has that desire to free oneself from the body, in the sense that he does not want to come back and accept another material body again, such a person is called mumukshu. Mumukshutva means one who is desiring for moksha. One who is desiring for liberation. Mumukshoho adititirshoho. He says adititirshoho. If you look at the words there, he says, how will this happen for which is the most difficult thing? Very, very difficult thing. It is easy to say this, but in practice to bring it up, it is very, very difficult. So you can see, ko bhava nidhi prashno. In answers, you are looking at this verse. So, if you look at the verse 23, Krishna says, Panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu cha vastuda ko bhava nidiva prashno vajarambho anarthagaha. So, when we have this, Panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu cha vastuda, material body is concerned, all of us are made from the same substance, isn't it? Five material elements. Panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu cha vastuda ko bhava nidiva prashno vajarambho anarthagaha. He says, ko bhavan idiva prashno vajarambho anarthagaha. Because it is like that. And as far as our spiritual identity is concerned, we are soul. So where is this difference? Who is asking this question? This is what the question has come up. Who is asking this question was come up. So, and even that is not considered to be sadhana, because as soon as you see that who is asking the question, the person is not there. Who is asking the question has gone. Where is he then? Who has gone away? So that's why it's just like they give the example in the Vedantam that when you keep peeling off the onion, thinking that there is something inside, you keep peeling outside different segments from the onion, and inside there is nothing at the end. We end up with nothing in the similar situation. So similarly, if you keep on inquiring this, well, ultimately we realize that what is present in this world is consciousness. It is from that consciousness everything else come about at the end, isn't it? The consciousness of bodham. Bodham, it is referred to as bodham. So everything in this world has come from that. That is what Krishna says in that next verse. If you look at the verse 24, Krishna is saying there, manasa vajasa drishtya grihyadei anyei apindriyaihi ahameva namato anyididi udhyadva manjasa. Very open statement Krishna says there. Whatever you see in this world, that means manasa vajasa drishtya, whatever you are relating with anything in this world, manaso vajasa drishtya, by what you see or with your mind what you create, with your mind what you create, with your actions what you create, or with your eyes what you see, grihyadehi apindriyehi, or whatever senses that comes into contact with this world, what they bring forward as the object, as an object. Anything that you are in contact with this external world, is Krishna says there, aham eva na mattonyam adi buddhyadva manjasa. Krishna says, remember that's all me. It's a very big statement, isn't it? Aham mattonyam aham eva na mattonyam adi buddhyadva manjasa. Accept that it's all me, Krishna says. What Krishna means is that it is that consciousness from where everything has come. When Krishna says it's me, that's what it refers to, that Krishna is the super soul in everybody, isn't it? In soul in everyone, Krishna is present in everybody. So in the same way, from that soul, Brahman are referred to as that, from there everything has come, everything has manifested from that. So no, like that, Krishna says. If you look into, remember the Vibhuti Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. Vibhuti Yogam is the 10th chapter, the opulences of the Absolute. There, first thing, when we want to understand the presence of Krishna in this world, Krishna says, wherever you see something great, consider it as a vibhuti, or my opulence. Consider that as a opulence. And so many opulences are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? In different things are mentioned there. So wherever you find any greatness in anyone, some great personality, his greatness, Krishna says, that's me. That's what he concludes that, isn't it? Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam mamai tejomsha sambhavam. Krishna says, if you find a spark of a splendor in anyone, take it that it is coming from me, not from that individual person. It is Krishna who is coming out in that way, through that person. Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. It's all my tejas, Krishna says. Krishna's manifestation is that what you find as the greatness in anyone. Say, for example, a famous musician, that his talent, that music talent, is coming from Krishna. A sportsman, that sporting ability is coming from Krishna. Or a big businessman creating a lot of wealth, that talent is coming from Krishna. So wherever you find something extraordinarily great, there all Krishna says, you should see me there in them. After listing a lot of those opulences, finally Krishna says there is one opulence which is above all these things. What is that? My presence in everyone. That I am present in everybody. That is the greatest opulence, isn't it? Krishna is present in all of us. that verse, you know, that in the 10th chapter, so Krishna mentions there, my presence in everyone is the greatest opulence. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, so when Krishna says that my presence in everyone means Krishna's spiritual presence in all of us, that is the greatest opulence. In other words, everywhere what is present is only Krishna, nothing else. All other things have come from that. When Krishna entered into us, this body has come into existence. Otherwise, this body can't grow. This body can't exist. It is simply matter. Matter has also come in the same way. So anything in this creation, the origin is Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying here, Manaso vachaso drishtya grihyate anyehi apindriyehi aham evana matto anyididi buddhyadva manjasa. Krishna says, mind, words, sense, eyes, or any other senses, whatever you are perceiving in this creation, Krishna says, take it that it's me, it is Krishna, and there is nothing else exists outside me. In other words, nothing else exists outside me. So that is the statement from Krishna. It's a very important statement in the Bhagavadam, that because in Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, there is no further after that anything to say. The final words, that is it. So with these words, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, you have to see these things. There is no point now talking about karmam or any other activity. This is the final instructions from Krishna to Uddhava. So he says here, manaso vachasa drishtya grihyadei anyai apindriyaihi aham eva namato. That is the important thing. Aham eva namato anyat. Only I am existing, nothing else exists. That's what Krishna is saying. Aham eva, only me existing. Aham, aham, aham. That soul inside, which is in everyone present. That is what Krishna is referring to, aham. That aham is referring to that. That we all have that aham brahmasmi inside, isn't it? Aham. Aham, aham. That ticking inside going on. I am, that thing. That aham eva matosmi. Aham eva na mato anyadidi. Nothing else exists apart from that. Buddhyadva manjasa, understand with this your intelligence. That is Krishna's words. Krishna's words is like that. So, when Krishna said this to Uddhava, Uddhava is saying to Uddhava's question was that Chittavritti develops in the mind. That we know. Mind develops in the mind. With the eyes we see so many things. And with various senses, we interact with various sense objects in this world. So, while doing all these things, still Krishna is giving these instructions to the Kumaras. While all these things are going on, Krishna is still instructing to Uddhava, to Kumaras, that Guneshu avisha, that is the next verse. Guneshu avishade chedo gunas chejasi cha prajaha jivasya deha ubhayam gunals chedo madalmanaha. Isn't it? Guneshu avishade chedo gunas chejasi cha prajaha. So mind enters into the sense objects. We'll go very slowly, because if I keep talking very fast, then you won't get it, what Krishna is saying, because it's a very difficult thing to get the understanding what Krishna is stressing on. That's why it will take a little time. But what the important thing is, Krishna says here, Guneshu avishade chittam abhishnam gunasevayaha. That means mind enters into the senses, sense objects, and sense objects gets into the mind. But both these modes of nature is the one that is inside us, isn't it? Inside us it is the modes of nature that is entered already. Now here is a problem. We think that modes of nature is different from the sense objects. That is the difficulty. We have given different titles to different things, but the thing is they are all mixed up together. When a particular sense object gets in, that's a particular mode of nature. You see? We should not think of modes of nature is this and sense objects is this or something else like that. They're all together. That's why when we analyze a person's thoughts or his actions, you say he is under the particular mode of nature, he is acting. In other words, it is that modes of nature that is controlling his action. Is it not? Particular mode of nature is controlling his action. So if he is interacting with a particular sense object in this world, his senses, there is a particular mode of action, modes of nature related to that. You see? So say for example, one who is in a situation where he is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always chanting Krishna's name, holy names, absorbed in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and engage in visiting the temples and hearing about Bhagavatam. People like that, Satugunam has entered into him. That's what it means. Similarly, a person who is always looking for glory or looking for wealth, looking for various kinds of recognition in this world, such a person you can say Rajogunam has entered into his inside. Similarly, a person who is always feeling tired and sleepy and lazy about everything and enters into a stage where he finds hopeless situation in this world, or shokam, or lamentation, hankering and distress all the time, in distress and living a life like that, you can say tamogunam has entered into him. You see? So, the sense object when we refer to, it's not just the object itself. What that object creates in the person, that's more important. Object is not the important. The impact of the object in a person, that is more important. Because we are concerned about ourselves, not about the sense object. Doesn't matter what sense object it is. That may be anything. It can be anything. So what that sense object creates impression or effect on us, that is more important. That is why Krishna is saying here, it enters in the modes of nature. Sometimes he will refer to as modes of nature. Sometimes he will say as the sense object. Whatever it may be, guneshu avishade chittam abhishnam gunasevaya. Here Krishna uses the word gunam, the three modes of nature. Guneshu avishade chittam abhishnam gunasevaya. Gunascha chitta prabhava madrubam ubhayam tyajed. So, Krishna says, that mind enters into sense objects, or mind gets affected by the modes of nature, and when they enters inside, what happened? It leaves behind some vasanas inside. This is the problem. As soon as you are in contact with modes of nature will leave something inside in a very subtle level. We don't understand that, isn't it? We don't see it. But that is where all these vasanas have piled up inside over several lifetimes. It's there inside. And that's where it's coming from. So Krishna says here, so take it, he says, both these modes of nature that is gone in, as well as the impressions it has created in the form of vasanas, madhruvam, that is Krishna, he says. Madhruvam ubhayam tejed, he says there, isn't it? Guneshyascha gunascha chitta prabhava madhruvam ubhayam tejed. It's a difficult concept to fully comprehend that, isn't it? You know, when you say, Krishna says both me, we are so much absorbed, accepted everything Krishna. We only understand Krishna in the form of the deity there, in the temple. That's our closest connection with Krishna. It's the deity in the temple. That's all we know about Krishna, isn't it? Or a photograph. Or we will say, or what we have seen in the movie, Krishna has been in Kurukshetra with the Mahabharata war. Things like that. These are all in our mind, in our thoughts all the time, isn't it? Whenever, as soon as we talk about Krishna, immediately that form comes into our thoughts. And we start relating how Krishna is saying here that the madhrupam ubhayam tejed. So that becomes a bit difficult. It's a difficult thing to understand it properly. That is where it says there that everything is coming from bodham. And it is bodham Krishna is referring to. All that is in the creation is come from that bodham. Bodham means that consciousness which is present in everyone. And that is present in the chit shakti. from Chit Shakti, everything has come about, including the mind, including the modes of nature also, and also the modes of nature as well as the impressions that has been created by the modes of nature, they are also stocked there, piled up in that place. So therefore Krishna says here, so that is this verse, if you look, it is very closely connected to the Chatushloki. Chatushloki Bhagavatam, you know, the four key, we say the key verses, isn't it? What does that verse one say? There's only actually one verse. The other remaining three verses are supplementary to the first verse. Srimad Bhagavatam is basically that one verse. Aham evasam evagre nanyadyat sarasat param paschadaham yadedacha yovashishyata sosmiham. This is the seed verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other three verses which follows that, which we call as Chatushloki, the remaining three verses are a supplementary to the first verse, to explain that a little bit more. And so there Krishna says, originally it was only me who existed. Aham evasam evagre. I was the only person, I alone existed in the beginning. And aham evas, anyad sarasaparam, nothing else existed, Krishna says. In other words, only consciousness bodham existed in the beginning, nothing else existed. Paschad aham yadhedacha, at the end also, it's only this bodham that exists, consciousness exists. Yovashishyeda sosmiham. That's only me that exists at the end. Avashishyeda sosmiham. Only me exists. When Krishna is referring this me, you have to look at it that way. Otherwise, if you simply take it purely on the form what we see as Krishna, then we may have a little difficulty there to how to relate these things with what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is also present. This is why the other two aspects of Brahma and Paramatma are also important in that sense, that when he is referring to this, it is the aspect of Brahma that is referred to. For Brahma came all these things, and Brahma existed in the beginning, Brahma existed at the end, and on the middle also only Brahma exists. So that's what that is about. So, so that is the seed verse, the bijam. Atmaivenam sarvam. So, in order to get this point across, this whole shastram is trying to explain to us in a particular way. For example, we have, after we have got this mind, the senses, body and everything, our interaction with the world has been so long that it has become very difficult for us now to deny all these things' existence. Isn't it? It is very difficult, isn't it? We have already accepted that all these things do exist. And if somebody tells you, we will argue against that. Why? Because as far as our sensual perception is concerned, they all exist. And we are under the control of the senses. You can see how subtle level Krishna is talking about things. Because we got used to seeing everything through senses, experiencing through senses, we take it that only what we see through senses as reality. Is it not? I mean, I can say this on a theoretical level, but in practice also, to think anything outside this sensual reality is very difficult for us. Isn't it? Suppose even if we accept it, yes, I understand that with the senses, we perceive everything in the creation through senses. That's fine. But this alone is not the truth. If somebody tells you, then you will definitely object to that. Because your question will be, what else is the truth then? Is it not? So that is where this problem is. Because senses and the mind has taken complete control of us. And we have become completely helpless about it. Why? Because the educational process we have gone through has made it worse. The science, what it has done is, it has things which are very mystic, they have demystified it by saying things to us, look, everything you should see through your logic and reasoning. Everything you should only accept
if you have convinced that it is right. Only if you see that something exists, only then you should accept it. That means science is stressing to us that whatever you are experiencing through the senses alone is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. This is the position of the science. Upanishads are beginning where the science is left behind. That's the problem. That Upanishads are telling, like here, Krishna is, this is Upanishad statement it is, what Krishna has spoken here. Manasai, this verse, Manasai, Manasa vajasa drishtya grihyade anyai apindriyaihi aham eva namato anyididi buddhyadhu manjasa. How can one perceive this when one is completely under the control of the senses? That is what the problem is. Because senses control us to such a degree that impossible for us to think anything, existence or any reality outside the perception of the senses. That is the problem. That is the important thing. You see? And this bodham, awareness, how can you bring it to the level of senses? It's not possible. You can't explain that to anyone through senses that this consciousness exists. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, and completely liberated and fully conscious. All the time conscious of everything. So Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam is the nature of the soul. And nature of the senses is to perceive everything, interact with the sense objects, and tell us something that the everything what we thought that is mystical, science has demystified that by convincing us that only that is the way to acquire knowledge. You see how science has created a situation for us like that. Therefore, many, many things in spiritual realization has become mythology, or they started calling it as, oh well, it's all somebody has written, who knows. Why this question has come like that? Why are we asking that question? Because it is abundantly clear here, when Krishna is saying to us that don't trust this mind and your senses to that extent. They alone are not the criteria to know the reality or the absolute truth. They are not the tools for that. That's Krishna's statement. And it's exactly what the sages are telling us. Don't use these tools of mind and senses and try to understand me. That won't work. Because it is from this consciousness all these things have come about. Bodham, or that awareness, it is from there, this thing called mind, this thing called senses, sense objects, they all come from there. And that's the way creation has happened. Creation has happened in that way. Because it is like that, they cannot tell you about the origin from where they came. From where they came. That is what that verse is telling us. Manaso manasa vajasa drishtya grihyadei anyai apindriyaihi ahameva namato anyadidi buddhyadhu manjasaha. That ahameva namato, nothing else exists. Only I am exist. Consciousness is existing. Consciousness is important. It is from that consciousness everything else has come. Everything else has come. Krishna asking Uddhava to accept this in a simple way. Accept this principle, he says, in a very simple way. So, and straightforward. Not question that anymore. That is the way it is. That in the process of creation, from the Chit-Shakti, all these different things have come about. Otherwise there is no explanation to the mind, isn't it? Where is the mind coming from? Anirvachaniya Shakti. It's a unusual power that originates from the Chit Shakti inside. And this unusual power nobody understands. Scientists also don't understand. Nobody can say. Even Shastram also, when it comes to that state, it has to withdraw. It doesn't have any more. From the Chit Shakti, something is manifesting in the form of mind. And Chittavritti begins. And with Chittavritti, all the Vikalpams comes, and then along with that, we have our interaction with the through the senses to the world outside. And when this interaction is happening with the world outside, what's happening is it creating this vasanas inside, and we are in this
in this caught up in this complicated situation where we are today. So to Ekadashaskandam, Uddhava, he has asked this question, and Krishna felt the need to stress this point that these things called the mind, the intelligence, they alone are not the key players in spiritual life. They are not the key players in spiritual life. They have come from the source, and the source is there, and Krishna says here, aham evana mato anya didi. Only I exist, that consciousness is existing, nothing else, anya didi, nothing else exists. Buddhyadvam anjasa, simply accept that as a principle. Krishna says like that to him. So, so whatever you are experiencing from that consciousness, whatever that has come about, Krishna says, whether in the form of the mind or the senses or the sense objects, these are all transformations of that consciousness inside. They are changing its form and coming out in front of us in the form of a mind, coming in front of us in the form of senses, or coming in front of us in the form of sense objects. That bodham inside, the consciousness inside, is coming in front of us in different forms, in the form of mind. So the question will come, how do I understand that? It is easy to understand. Krishna has given very solid examples to all these things. For example, you see now we are sitting here. I go to bed at night, I start sleeping. After a couple of hours, I get a dream. In the dream, I create all of you. Isn't it? I see everybody here. I see the mic. I see the chair. I see this cupboard. I see the whole room in the dream state. Who created that? That question we have to find out, isn't it? That is that power of that bodham inside. So, Krishna's point is, that bodham you are creating every night within yourself. The creation happens in the dream state, isn't it? Where you may say, oh, it's not the same like in the Jagrat. That has no meaning, because who says the Jagrat state is a reality? We say Jagrat state is real. Krishna is not saying Jagrat state is a reality, isn't it? Dream state is a reality at that particular time when you are in the dream state. What you have created is all a reality for you in the dream state. And you have created that without anybody's help. Where did that come from? So that creation has come from consciousness. In the dream state, the consciousness has created everything in front of you. Similarly, Krishna is saying, from me, from the same consciousness, all this world has been created. All this world has been created. That's all it is. So that is why, from the Bhagavatam point of view, that to give importance to Jagrat state and to think Swapnam, oh, that's just a dream, I don't care. No, it has no meaning, because it is in the Swapnam state, Krishna is proving to us, creation is possible for the consciousness in any state, even the dream state, it is possible. And similarly, in the Jagrat state, same creation process happens, but only difference is, in the Jagrat state, you are able to interact them with the senses, which you don't have the opportunity in the dream state. The mind is present in the dream state. In the vacant state, I am there, the body is there, the mind is there. Senses are there. But when you go into the dream state, the senses have gone. Isn't it? Mind is there. So the mind can create all these things, or the bodham. From consciousness, mind has come and mind is able to create everything in this room as it is in the sleep, in the dream state. So because it can do that, Krishna says, take that as an indication that from bodham anything can happen. Any creation can happen from the consciousness. So similarly, this whole creation also, Krishna says, that is ahameva matto anyadidi buddhyadva manjasa. Krishna says, only that consciousness is the reality that exists. Everything else does not exist. In the sense, just like in the dream, you have experienced something. When you come out of the dream, they are not reality anymore for you. Why? Because Jagrat has become the reality. The vacant state has become the reality. But when you go into the dream state, the vacant state is not a reality anymore.
So, like we discussed, that these three states, we keep falling back and forth. That's all life is, isn't it? In all these three states, coming back up and down, we keep going. And we are trying to find out what is the reality. Krishna is saying, none of these three states are a reality. None of them are reality. There is another state, which is purely the state of self-realization. That is the only reality. Everything else is false. That is the point Krishna is aiming at. So, so there, in that creation, in the dream state, the consciousness in me has expanded in different forms in front of me. So that's why he's saying here, Guneshu avishada chittam abhishnam gunasevaya gunascha chitta prabhava madruva ubhayam tejed. Gunascha chitta prabhava madruva ubhayam tejed. That is the verse 26. Guneshu avishada chittam abhishnam gunasevaya gunascha chitta prabhava madruva ubhayam tejed. Knowing very well that all of this is me. That is how you have to see it. Krishna means that bodham inside, the awareness. Ahamasmi, that awareness has come in all these forms and take it in that way and realize it that it's all me who is present in everything. That is the way to see it. Guneshu, all these verses in this 13th chapter is something for a very deep reflection. Because Krishna has taken Upanishads and summarized in simple verses, as simple as possible to Uddhava to understand. And that's why they are connected with major Upanishads. Everything is coming from consciousness, is the topic that is discussed, isn't it? So, we have no idea about consciousness, isn't it? We always think in terms of the body. That's all we know. So, whenever we talk about consciousness, so consciousness as we know is, so if I touch somebody, he feels he's conscious. He's not dead. That's how far our knowledge goes about consciousness. It ends there. But consciousness is the key thing. It is from consciousness everything is taking birth. It's consciousness, everything is taking birth. So therefore it says here, so, sattvam, rajas, tamas, the three modes of material nature, they comes and dissolves in the mind. Dissolves in the mind. And mind goes outside and gets dissolved in the sense objects. Mind goes outside and gets dissolved in the sense objects. But even though it is like that, madhrupam ubhayam techet. Krishna says, knowing very well that they are all me who is going, mind is going and dissolving in the sense objects. Similarly, modes of nature and getting dissolved in the mind. This is all dissolution happens. Actually, this is interesting. We have some concept about, creation, then sustenance and eventually destruction, isn't it? We think that there will be a total destruction one day. Atyandiya pralayam, it is called. There's four kinds of pralayam discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, nityam, naimityam, pragratam, atyandiyam. Four kinds of devastation. So generally, people will ask this question, which devastation happens when? If you thought that, I'm sure many people must have thought. And they will say like this, these are general thoughts in a person's mind. He'll say the final devastation at that time. What will happen? Whole planet will be burning with the fire, and even it will burn for many years, and eventually the whole living entities all goes away, dies, and that is the the people who predict about the end of the world and all that. So many people have predicted the end of the world. It hasn't happened so far, isn't it? But because we have not understood what devastation means, devastation in the Vedantam is different. It is not the way we perceive about devastation. Devastation, we see it as like this, as a physical destruction of all the creation. That is not devastation. Devastation actually means that this world that is experienced by us today, the moment this world disappears from us, the devastation has happened. And when does that happen? When self-realization happens. So, Atyandika Pralayam means the ultimate dissolution. Out of the four, the final one is Atyandika Pralayam. For example, in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned like this. Okay, Brahma has a day of Lord Brahma. Brahma is 1000 Chaturyugam. One Chaturyugam is Kritam Traida Dwabaram Kali. Four Chaturyugam. Four Yugam, make it one Chaturyugam. 1000 Chaturyugam is a day of Lord Brahma. Isn't it? And similarly, one night. And similarly, 365 days like that makes a day of Lord Brahma. And 365 days make 1 year of Lord Brahma. And Brahma lives for 100 years. We have been told like that. The calculations are given. Isn't it? Yes, we can accept that. But at the same time, we also have to know what this all means. This means to say to us that Brahma has a long life from that point of view. He has a very, very 4.32 billion years or something, if you calculate it, put it together, all numbers. But after Brahma's life, Atyandiya Pralayam happens. That final dissolution, everything happens, everything covered in water or burning, and Lord Shiva's third eye opens, and from there the fire comes and burns. These are there in the Puranas to tell us that there is a thing called devastation, so that get you absorbed in that. But real devastation, when does it happen? When you realize the self. That it's only the self that exists, nothing else exists. After that, the world doesn't exist, creation doesn't exist. Everything goes away. Isn't it? When you have come to the platform of the soul, what does exist then? It's only the soul that exists. It is from the soul, then your relationship with the matter changes. As Krishna says here, aham evasa matto anyadidi buddhyadva manjasa. Only I exist. That means that consciousness exists or the soul exists. Aham evasa matto anyadidi buddhyadva manjasa. This is the important thing. This is the important thing. So, our perception of this devastation, dissolution, it comes in the 12th canto, if you want to look. Finally, before Srimad Bhagavatam was concluded, the four kinds of devastation is discussed between Sudha Goswami and the sages in Naimisharanyam. There he talks about that. But immediately after that, you can see that the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, when it is spoken, it says that Kaivalyega Prayojanam. That it doesn't say that the goal is to stay in this world till the final devastation happens, as we think about that. That which may happen after, according to, if you go in that Puranic way of thinking, you may think it will happen probably after how many billions of years, we don't know. That such a thing can happen, everything will be, the Sankarshanamurti is there on his hood, on the serpent's hood, it is like a mustard seed sitting there, this planet. It's all explained in the Bhagavatam like that, isn't it? If you start thinking all that in its absolute sense in that way, then you may have a little problems there, because that is where Upanishads come to our help to tell us that the Purana way of presenting is like that. Puranams keeps us interested in this. If it is spoken in a different way, we won't look at it. Because it's spoken in that way, we will think, how big is that mustard seed, we will ask. Or at least the thousands of hoods of Shesha, Adi Shesha. And among those thousands of hoods, this is one small mustard seed. The earthly planet, he is supporting us. And when you read the fifth canto, you will also see there that all these so many universes are supported by Sankarshanamurti at the bottom. Isn't it? It's all there in that statement. Saril samudramscha hare shariram yal kindriya bhutam pranamed ananyaha. Ekashaskandam, when the Navayogis discussed this, saril samudramscha hare shariram. Actually, all these things what we see and think exist, it's all Krishna's body. Krishna's body it is. It's all how you experience things through your senses. That is what is important. That's what you are taking into account. And you are making this judgment. So when Puranas are telling us that all this creation exists, all these millions and billions of universes are existing, and at the bottom of all these universes is Sankarsanamurthy sitting there, and Sankarsanamurthy is Balaram. Balaram is always drunk. So if you tell all these things to somebody, you will say it's a bit difficult to understand it, isn't it? Balaram likes what? Balaram loves it. And so and a person like that, he is supporting all these things. Will it drop any time? This question also you can ask. There is no problem in asking that question, isn't it? So therefore, more we become the subtle understanding of these things, we can immediately leave this Puranic way of analyzing things. We can get rid of that from our side, inside. Because that was only spoken. When it is spoken like that, you feel interested in that. See, anyone comes to spiritual life, first question he is asking is, where is all this came from? This whole world. That's the first question, isn't it? And then you have to give an answer, otherwise he's not going to listen to you further. Just like we talked yesterday from Ishwapanishad, we were saying that this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Karmam, Varnam, Ashramam and all that, why it has become necessary? Because we have karma vasana inside. If we were all looking for self-realization and we had no interest in the matter, in the material life, then Vedas would not have spoken about all these things. Vedas spoke all these things to us and told us, look, if you are not ready for self-realization, then live in this particular pattern, in this world in a particular way, disciplined way, and develop, continue with your material life, and some point in time when you come to understand that spiritual life is more, is the reality, at that point you can come and start inquiring further. Similarly, Puranams are always like that. Puranams will say a lot of things like that. And if you start analyzing Puranam through reasoning and logic, you will get, find it difficult at that point. Therefore, when in some places in the Bhagavatam you will notice this, along with the explanation of the creation and everything, the truth will also be spoken. That's why in the Bhagavatam you see, Saril Samudramscha Hari Shariram. Seeing that all these things what has manifested in this creation, see it as Hari Shariram, Krishna's body, and pay your obeisances to that, because everything is Krishna present in everything. It's only Krishna who is present everywhere. And that is the confirmation, and that is the state of realization what Bhagavatam is talking about. Saril Samudramscha Hari Shariram. El kinjamedal pranamed ananyaha. There's nothing else exists. It's Krishna who is present in the form of the planet. Krishna is present in the form of water, in the sky, in the earth, and the trees, plants. There is nothing which is outside Krishna. It's Krishna who is present in all these forms. Different. So everything has come from Krishna. In other words, when we say Krishna, that bodham awareness inside. El kinjamedal pranamed ananyaha. So after saying that, Krishna says here, so when this Madhruva Vayam Chare, so knowing very well with this knowledge that everything is Krishna, Krishna says, instead of breaking up everything into modes of nature, the mind, sense objects, Krishna says here that try to see them all, that one substance complete in itself. See it as one complete substance, Purna Vastu. Purna Vastu. That's what Krishna is saying here. Don't keep breaking up, because the more we break up, the more difficult it becomes to see the truth. To see the truth. We have broken up so much. And this, in science, the more you break up, the better. It's the other way it is, isn't it? Because we say we have to analyze everything minutely. In order to analyze minutely, what you have to do? You have to break it up further. They broke up into molecules, atoms and protons, electrons, neutrons, this, ton, goes on like that. But still there is no truth. Where is the truth? So this inquiry through Upanishads is a different way. Upanishads are saying to us, don't break it up, bring it together. That's where you will see the truth. Not by breaking up. Whereas science is telling us, keep breaking up. and they keep breaking. And where is the end? Where have they got so far? Still we don't know what the truth is, isn't it? So that is why sages, without any experiments, they have realized it, that the truth is one, and that truth is right inside here, inside us. The same truth is present in us, same truth is present in everyone here, present in everybody in this creation. So that truth is more important. And so that is what it is mentioned like that. Yeah. So he says here, Krishna is saying here, then after that he says, after knowing that all this is that one thing who is present in all these different forms, leave that behind also and stay peaceful about it. And stay in the peaceful state. So that is what he says here in the 27th verse. He is going to say that. Jagrel satna sushuptancha gunato buddhivrtayaha tasam vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischidaha. Jagrel satna sushuptancha gunato buddhivrtayaha tasam vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischidaha. Krishna is saying Jagrata, Sopnam, Sushupti. Three states, isn't it? So these three states, there's three states. In all these three states, there is one thing, a thread that is going through all those three states. What is that? My awareness of me. I am existing. I am existing. The body is existing. The mind is existing in the vacant state. I am there, the body is there, the mind is there, in the vacant state. When I go to the dream state, I am there, the mind is there, body is gone, in the dream state, isn't it? When I go into deep sleep, mind is gone, body is gone, I am there. So that is that I am feeling of my awareness of me, that's what is common in all the three states existing. And that existence that I am, that is the experience of that consciousness. Experience of that consciousness, what we have got. That my existence or awareness is experience of that consciousness which has manifested in different forms like mind, senses, sense objects, everything. It has come like that. That is the point Krishna is making. And Krishna is saying here, Jagrel satna sushuptancha nuvrto gunavrtaya gunato buddhivrtayaha. So buddhivrti means these three modes of material nature, which mean satvam, rajasa, tamasa, goodness, passion, ignorance, they are present in these three states, Jagrel, Sopnam and Sushupti. In three states they are present, isn't it? So when you have gone into the Sushupti state, although when you come out of that, you are reporting back about the happiness that you experienced without senses, isn't it? Without senses, you have experienced and you are reporting that. Though then the question will come, how come if that experience what you had in the Sushupti state or deep sleep state, why are we not experiencing in the other three states? That is the question. Why are we not experiencing that happiness what you experienced in the deep sleep? Why are we not experiencing? The answer to that is that verse. Krishna is saying, in Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, the main problem what you have got there is that these three diseases, Krishna calls them, the three illnesses, they are Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, these three diseases. They are three illnesses for us. And at that time, they are in the buddhi, in intelligence. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. They are in the intelligence. The intelligence is affected by these three states of existence. Three states of existence. We have to little bit reflect on these things, because when you think about it, we say Jagrat state, Sopnam state, Sushupti state. Three states, isn't it? And Krishna is also saying, Gunado buddhi vrtaya. They have nothing to do with the soul. They have nothing to do with the soul. Buddhi vrtaya. It is because it has infected the intelligence, which normally reports everything and tells you its experience. For example, when you wake up of Sushupti in the morning, it is the buddhi that is telling us that I had a great time there in the deep sleep. In Sushupti, I had a very peaceful and extremely pleasant time without any stress, any kind of anxiety. I stayed there for a few hours or so. And when somebody wakes you up, you're not happy. Why have you woken me up? I was in deep sleep. Children particularly say that because they get good deep sleep, isn't it? When the mother wakes up in the morning, you have to go to school, get up now, and says to the child. Child says, there's still half an hour left. Why? Why is that? Because in that child state, he is experiencing the best on his happiness, all the happiness in this world. He's getting that deep sleep state very nicely. Therefore, when he comes out, he does not want to be woken up from that. But we think in our ignorance that I'm going to give him best education. If he doesn't get to the classes, he's going to miss out something. His whole career is going to be affected. He's going to suffer in this world, poor child. But poor child was engaged with the super soul and experienced the greatest bliss at that time. We tell him, no, that's enough. You don't need any more happiness with the super soul. We tell him and bring him out from that, isn't it? So, and then he wakes up and then his in intelligence is that's what is reporting about that experience. Gunado buddhi vrtaya. So that buddhi, Krishna saying here, in that buddhi, this jagrat sapnam sushupti has crept in. It has crept into that. These three things, jagrat, sapnam and sushupti. And therefore, tasam vilakshano jiva sakshityena vinischida. Therefore, jiva, when it has infected, these three states has infected the buddhi, then he is called jiva. When the three, you can say about self-realization in different ways, you can explain that. Self-realization means that, you can also say when you are freedom from the three modes of material nature. Or you can say when you are free from the three states of existence. They both means the same, isn't it? In different places you will see spoken in different ways. That's all it is. Practically it means one and the same thing. One person will say, that is why in the Bhagavad Gita when you study, I mentioned this before, somewhere Krishna talks about Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. There is one chapter, the three modes of material nature. Very detailed discussion of the three modes of material nature. Now, when you study that thinking that, oh, the three modes of material nature is different than something other things, then you are in trouble. You won't be able to, then that means the study is very theoretical, not based on realization. But when you study Bhakti Yogam, chapter 12, and when you study the three modes of material nature, when you study the divine and demonic nature, all these time if you can see that connection there, they're one and the same spoken in different ways. That's all. Spoken in different ways. So that you don't know which one will hit you. In somehow or the other it will get into your thoughts. So, so similarly, there it says Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. How three modes of material nature is discussed, whole chapter Krishna discusses, isn't it? One whole chapter is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, three modes of material nature. And there is another chapter based on the divisions of faith. There's one chapter, divisions of faith, based on these three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, and based on that, our faith, how it changes. This one chapter there, talked about that in that way. So here, Krishna is saying that these three modes of nature, which is present in us, in the three states of existence, which is caused by, even it has infected the intelligence. So, three states of existence has come about because of the three modes of nature has infected the intelligence. So, therefore, you can't experience that, what you experienced in the Sushupti state. What you experience in the Sushupti state cannot be experienced in the other two states because of that.
Jagral Sopna Sushuptanja Pravurto Gunavartayaham
గుణదో బుద్ధివృత్తయాః తాసాం విలక్షణో జీవ సాక్షిత్వేన వినిశ్చితాః. ది సోల్ ఈస్ విలక్షణం. విలక్షణం మీన్స్ ఇట్ హ్యాసెంట్ గాట్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ హిమ్. హీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎఫెక్టెడ్ బై ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. గుణదో బుద్ధివృత్తయ, కృష్ణ ఈస్ మేకింగ్ ఇట్ వెరీ స్పెసిఫిక్ దేర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద బుద్ధి దట్ దే హ్యావ్ గాట్ ఇన్ సైడ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది బుద్ధి దట్ దే హ్యావ్ గాట్ ఇన్ సైడ్. గుణదో బుద్ధివృతయ తాసాం విలక్షణో జీవ. జీవ ఇస్ విలక్షణ. హి హాస్ నో విలక్షణ. ఇట్ ఈస్ హిస్ నేచర్. దెన్ నేచురలీ సాక్షిత్వేన వినిశ్చిత. హీఈస్ ఓన్లీ ఎ సాక్షి, ఎ విట్నెస్ టు ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సో త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ హ్యాస్ నాట్ ఎఫెక్టెడ్ ద సోల్ అట్ ఆల్. వాట్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ ఎఫెక్టెడ్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ బుద్ధి, ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. అండ్ దేర్ ఫార్ దీస్ త్రీ స్టేట్స్ ఆల్సో కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్. యాజ్ యూ నో ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ఇట్స్ అ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ సబ్జెక్ట్. విచ్ వన్? దిస్ త్రీ స్టేట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అండ్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. ఇఫ్ యూ స్టడీ దమ్ వెరీ వెల్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ అనలైజ్ ఇట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ సైడ్స్ అండ్ డీప్లీ అబ్జార్బ్ ఇన్ దాట్, ది ట్రూత్ విల్ కమ్ అవుట్ విత్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ క్లారిటీ ఇన్ సైడ్. యూ విల్ గెట్ ద క్లారిటీ ఇన్ సైడ్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్. దాట్స్ వై ది స్టడీ ఇట్. సో దాట్స్ వై కృష్ణ అలాటెడ్ దట్ వన్ చాప్టర్ స్పెసిఫికలీ ఫార్ దాట్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. నార్మలీ అవర్ నేచర్ ఈస్ ఇట్ జస్ట్ ఫార్ లిటిల్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ వీ నీడ్ అబౌట్ ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. వీ థింక్ దాట్ సఫిషియంట్, ఇజ్ంట్ ఇట్, సో దాట్ వీ కెన్ కేటగరైజ్ ఎవ్రీబడి విచ్ మోడ్స్ ఈస్. దట్స్ ఆల్. జస్ట్ టు అనలైజ్ అదర్స్. ఓ, హీస్ ఇన్ ది లోవర్ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్, వరస్ ఐఎమ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇన్ ద హైయెస్ట్ మోడ్. సో లైక్ దిస్, దట్స్ ఆల్ వీ గెట్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్స్ హౌ మచ్ వీ వాంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్. బట్ దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఈస్ నాట్ టు జడ్జ్ అదర్స్ ఇన్ వాట్ మోడ్స్ దే ఆర్. దట్ ఈస్ నో యూస్ అట్ ది ఎండ్. వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ హెల్ప్? దట్స్ నాట్ ది పర్పస్. సేమ్ థింగ్ జాగ్రత్త స్వప్నం సుషుప్తి, త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. సిమిలర్లీ డివైన్ అండ్ డిమోనియక్ నేచర్ వాజ్ స్పోకెన్ నాట్ టు జడ్జ్ అదర్స్. హూ ఈస్ డిమన్? ఇఫ్ యూ స్టార్ట్ జడ్జింగ్ ఎవ్రీబడి విల్ బి ద డిమోనియక్ కేటగిరీ. దట్స్ నాట్ ది ఐడియా బిహైండ్ ఇట్. ఐడియా ఈస్ దాట్ వీ షుడ్ నో ది దోస్ డివైన్ నేచర్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్. ఇఫ్ యూ అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ఎ సాధన, సాధన మీన్స్ దాట్ being aware of that, that's all it is necessary to be aware of what is divine nature and to be aware of what is demonic nature. You don't have to separately run courses and seminars on that. Sometimes you see divine and demonic nature courses going on. So where will this get to? Don't, it's not the idea behind it, nor the three modes of material nature either. It's just not a subject you study like that. You be aware of that, what they are, and you can't do anything about it either, very much. That is where Krishna's mercy comes. When Krishna's mercy comes, and you will see this divine nature is coming in that person, coming through all levels. It will happen through him. Spiritual life is all connected, linked to Krishna, everything, from all sides. Krishna's mercy is more important than all these divine nature, demonic nature and all that. They are there and they are not permanent either, isn't it? Yesterday's demon is today's devotee and today's devotee is tomorrow's demon. That also is happening. So none of them is the reality, is it not? As I mentioned before, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were all demons. But they have all gone back home, back to Godhead, isn't it? They didn't come back again here. So, naturally, to prove it to us, Mahabali, who was fighting against Indra when the churning of the milk ocean happened, there was a famous war between the demons and the demigods. Isn't it? It's in the Bhagavadam. Now, normally when a person reads that, he starts thinking that the, demigods have won because Krishna is with them, the demons have lost the war. And eventually Shukracharya, even when Aditi Devi, mother of the demigods, prayed to told Kashyapa Prajapati, her husband, that my sons are in trouble, please help us. So, and she pleased Kashyapa Prajapati, and Kashyapa Prajapati gave Aditi Devi the instructions for Payavratam. You remember in the Bhagavatam, 12 days to perform Payavratam. Aditi Devi strictly performed everything, and the result was that Aditi Devi, Vamana Murthy appeared in front of Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi, right? Aditi Devi is wife of Kashyapa Prajapati. Didi Devi is also wife of Kashyapa Prajapati. Husband is one, two wives. So one wife is telling, tell me the way how I can kill the children of your other wife. So imagine Kashyapa Prajapati's problem. Is it not? That's what this Devasura Yuddham or the fight between demons and demigods is all like this. If you look at it that way, same husband for Didi Devi, Aditi Devi. Didi's children, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and so many, all the asuras, they have come from her. From Didi, this is the lineage, isn't it? Father is the same, mother is different. For demigods, Indra and others, mother is Aditi Devi, father is same Kashyapa Prajapati. So when Aditi Devi prayed to Kashyapa Prajapati, that show me a way how Indra will get back his heavenly planets back. Kashyapa Prajapati gave Payovratam instructions to Aditi Devi. Aditi Devi followed that, and eventually Vamanamurti appeared, and Vamanamurti says to Aditi Devi, what you have asked is all fine, but she is your sister, isn't it, Aditi Devi? And what you are asking, Kashyapa Prajapati says at that point, Aho Maya Balam Vishnu. Vishnu's Maya is such a powerful thing. What am I supposed to say now? One wife is saying that how should I get all other wives' children killed? What should I do? This is Aho Maya Balam Vishnu, he says there. So from there you can see that Aditi Devi, Didi Devi, both are Kashyapa Prajapati's wives. From one person came all the demigods, and another one came all the demons. From all the demons. And Mahabali came through Didi Devi, isn't it? That is his. And then Mahabali, in the next time, millennium or whatever, he comes as the Indra then. And he will be assisted by so many other great personalities at that time. So these two things, what we say here is that they are all relative things. They are not in itself the absolute situation. With them, they are not permanently fixed in that state. I'm saying that. So similarly, three modes of material nature is like that. Nothing is permanent with anyone. Nobody is permanently in the mode of goodness or in passion or in ignorance. It always moving from one state to another. All you can see is observe yourself within ourselves, what's happening, what state is happening. That is a good thing to do. To observe in what mode we are operating in a particular, when such thoughts are coming, to engage in rajasic activities, that means ports of passion, you can take it that active, that modes is very predominant at that time. Nobody is in one state either. Not one particular modes of nature doesn't exist in one person. Always a mixture. There's always a mixed state. Gunanam asamishranam, it says there in the later on in the Bhagavatam, that all modes of nature is mixed with everyone. We all have goodness, we all have passion, we all have ignorance in us. All three states are mixed. Whichever that is predominating in us, accordingly our actions will follow. That's all. If the sattvagunam is predominant, we will act in the mode of goodness. If rajogunam is predominant, we will act in the mode of passion. If tamogunam is predominant, we will act in the mode of ignorance. Like the mode of ignorance. So therefore, the three modes of material nature, like that. So, but none of them has anything to do with the soul. Again, that is another point Krishna is stressing here. None of them. So, they create sattvam, rajas, tamas. They create this jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, isn't it? In jagrat state, sattvagunam. In the dream state, rajogunam. And in the sushupti state, it is tamogunam. That is predominating. It's the result of that we are experiencing those three states. The result of those three states. So, that jiva at that time, So the jiva who is experiencing all these things, he said, because we do not know the nature of the jiva's nature or the soul, therefore we feel the presence of this world. We feel the presence of this world. We give importance to this world or the presence of this world because we have been, in our intelligence, it has been infected with this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. And because this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is existing in us, which is caused by the presence of the modes of nature in the intelligence, because of that, we feel the reality of this world as we are feeling through the senses today. You getting the point? That it is so difficult to deny the existence of this world to anyone, isn't it? You say to anybody, this world is not real, they'll think I have gone crazy, isn't it? People will tell you, they'll always make joke about it. But you have to see from the point of view, the sages are trying to get us to understand that principle. That the world reality exists, why? Because the real thing, we don't know what it is. That's why. Real thing is the soul, not the world. The world, what we are perceiving through the senses, and we interact with the sense objects, unfortunately, that has become real for us today. Is it not? It has become real for us today. But we know very well that this body will go, which I think it is real, which we are arguing with others that this is a real body, how can you say it's not real? We argue about the material, the creation, as though it's real. But Krishna is saying none of them is real. The real thing is what is inside that soul is the real, not this body, not this world. The soul is the only reality. And because we have not realized that reality of the soul, this becomes the real for us, reality for us. This is the understanding. That's what Krishna is saying here. It is called a Brahmam. Brahmam means a misunderstanding has come. But it's a very big misunderstanding, not a small misunderstanding. To come out of it, it is very difficult. And that is why jnanis particularly, they go so deeply into this and absorb all the time. Not this, not this, not this. They reject this, isn't it? Neti neti, they say. What is this neti neti? Neti neti is rejecting all this. This is not the reality. This is not the reality. Reality is different. So they come to that point. So, realized soul or intelligent person, without getting pulled into any of these three states, talks about the fourth position. Fourth position. Actually, this fourth state is only, we call it as a kalpana. Kalpana means, it is for our easier understanding, it is called as a state. In reality, that is the only thing there. These three are the ones we are experiencing, that is the real thing, which is that self-realized, we call it a state. Because we are in these three states, we have to call it as a state. But actually, it's not a state in that sense, that is the what it is existing. These three are the artificial one that has come up in us, in our body. So that's why Krishna says here that if you look into the verse 28, you will see. Yarhi samsrati bandhoyam atmano gunavrtidah mai turiye stito jahyat tyagasthal gunachetasam. All these verses in the Ekadasham is pretty heavy verses. And when you take them on board and start analyzing word by word and look at it, the amount of transcendental knowledge in there is very difficult to straight away experience it, isn't it? Whereas story, if somebody says, it's easy to follow it through. So Krishna says here, Yarhi samsrati bandhoyam atmano gunavrtidah mai turiye sido jahyal tyagasthal gunachetasam. Krishna says here, Yarhi samsrati bandhoyam. So long as you have connection with this world, samsaram or samsrati bandhoyam, atmano gunavrtidah, which is based on the three modes of material nature. Based on the three modes of material nature, So long as you have contact with this world outside, mai turiye sthide jahya tyagastad gunachetasam. So you will experience this gunabuddhi. Gunabuddhi means that intelligence under the influence of the modes of the nature. Therefore, Krishna says, you should take my shelter, who is above the three modes of material nature, which again means what? That bodham inside. That's what he says here. That irhi samsrati bandhoyam atmano gunavrtidaha mai turiye sthido jahyal tyagasthal gunachetasam. Gunachetasam. So, while discussing this, Krishna is saying here, this turiyam state, jagrat, swapnam, sushupti, the three states, jagrat means this state. Now, swapnam, jagrat means the state what we are now. But are we in jagrat? No, we are not. We are not. It's always mixed up like the modes of nature. Because modes of nature is present in us in mixed up way. The three states are also present in us in a mixed up state. We may say we are in jagrat, but there is swapnam here and a little bit of sushupti also there. There is only a slight variation from one to another. there is an interesting thing. He says here, swapnam means what? Okay, jagrat means eyes are open at least, we can say like that. The eyes are open, so that is jagrat state. Swapnam means what? Swapnam means in the mental chariot. You got into the chariot and you are going somewhere. Sometimes we can say, oh, you applied for a job in such and such a place. You could be sitting here and thinking all that. Tomorrow I got the interview. I have to be there at 10 o'clock for the interview. I've been thinking about all questions. All this can happen right now here, sitting. You are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but you could be thinking about that interview tomorrow morning. Or if you are expecting or going to visit somebody, anything like that. So many things. All those things is mental chariot, isn't it? You're present here, but you're not here. You're somewhere else. The mind is somewhere else. So that state is called manoratham. That is swapnam. That is swapnam state. Swapnam is not only when you dream and close the eyes and see in the dream state. No, that's not swapnam. This is also swapnam. Swapnam means that your presence is not here where you are now. Nor you are acting through the senses, but you are gone somewhere else and you are present somewhere else in that form. So in between all these things, sometimes, say you are listening now and you are thinking about so many things, what's going to happen tomorrow, day after, your plans in your mind, so many things. In between you get a blankness, and that is sushupti. Sometimes that happens, isn't it? You feel a blankness inside. You are not thinking anything. You are not listening to anything. The mind is not active, nor the body is active. You are not here listening anything, nor your mind is absorbed in anything, but you are there. And that is sushupti state. That is a sushupti state. Sushupti state is not only when you snore heavily in the deep sleep. That's not sushupti state. So please understand this, that jagrat, swapnam, sushupti is present in all the time in all of us. Only thing is sometimes with a lot of effort we stay awake and that is our jagrat, what we call. But even there the mind is sometimes going away somewhere, dream state exists. And sometimes that sushupti state also comes inside. So, you can very well sitting here imagine that you're gone to Switzerland and gone on a skiing holiday, spend 7 days skiing, and probably if you had skied before, they are gone for skiing, you could think about all that and think about something, what has happened there, and the whole 7 days skiing you can perform here, right now. Experience that, isn't it? So, that all can happen here, right now. Or you can say your daughter is living there, you're gone to see her, she had the baby, gone there, helped her, and finished all the business there, came back, all while sitting here and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is how jagrat, swapnam, sushupti is present in us. We should know this because these three states of existence, three modes of material nature are important to understand the transcendental nature of the soul. Otherwise, you won't understand the soul. Soul is very difficult to get it. What it is? We keep talking about the soul. What is this thing called the soul? Unaffected by the modes of nature, unaffected by the three states of existence, transcendental to everything, but a witness to everything, that is what he is. That's what he is. So, all these things, so Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, they are present there. But, important thing is, there is a vastu, there is something which is the adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the, I think the word is substratum, substratum, on which all these things are happening, and that is the soul. That is the soul. And that soul means that consciousness. It is from that consciousness that all this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three modes of material nature, three states of existence, everything has come from them. From that consciousness it has come about. So, and therefore, so it is that substratum or adhishtanam that is what we are not giving any attention. That is the thing what we are not giving any attention. So, the Swapnam and Sushupti, dream state and deep sleep state, you don't have to go to those states. Right now here, all those three states are present in us. Right now here, all those three states are present in us. You don't have to think in terms of, oh, only in the night I'll go into deep sleep or dream state. No, right now, those three states are present in us. So, it is mentioned like this. When you identify with your body completely, total absorption in the body, and start taking that every material object in this world is real. Material world, all the objects are real. And we start behaving on that principle, you are in the Jagrat state. You see, that is the Jagrat's definition according to Shastram. Jagrat state is just not two eyes are open, no. Jagrat state is the moment you are in identification with the body and the moment you are in relationship with the material objects in this creation and interacting with them, with the object, you are in the Jagrat state. You are already in the Jagrat state. You are in the Jagrat state then. You can't, it is such a subtle thing that when you say this to somebody, they will think there is such a deeper level. You see, the sages had this vision of able to perceive things in such deep levels. We have become so gross that it is hard for us even to comprehend certain things what they are saying to us. So simply they define Jagrat, as long as you are identifying with the body, as long as you are interacting with the material world in some form, you are in the Jagrat state. So you know the difference what we are saying. Jagrat state is not, I'm just saying, to get rid of that misconception from our head. Eyes are open, I'm thinking I'm in Jagrat. No, that's not the symptom of Jagrat, vacant state. Just eyes are open doesn't mean that I'm in the vacant state. As long as I am in the state of the bodily identity, as long as I am relating with the material world as material objects in terms of ragadvesham, all these things happening here, I am in the vacant state. That is what vacant state means. You see? Vacant state is not a very good state. Huh? We tell people, oh, you should be awake, you should stay awake, we say to people. So vacant state, from the Shastram point of view, it's not the best state. Vacant state means you are in the bodily concept of life completely. And you are relating with the world outside. That's all it means. Nothing more. You are not spiritual. Just because you are in the vacant state doesn't mean, don't misunderstand that you are spiritual. Some people say, oh, I have not slept for many days now. I'm staying awake. And he thinks he is spiritual. No, that's not spiritual. Spiritual means that you have come out of the bodily concept. As long as you are in the bodily concept of life and you are identifying with the material world, bodily identity, all these things are existing in us. You are in the vacant state, but you are not in the spiritual state. Not in the spiritual state. So, Jagrat state is not something which is to be highly admired for in any way. It's not something very highly admired for. Because that is not our real state. Our state, our actual origin, spiritual identity is self-realization. That's what we are. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That in the Swapnam state, what does Swapnam create? How does Swapnam is created? Swapnam or dream state is created by the mind. As soon as the mind moves inside, a little bit waves, functions, or happens inside the mind, immediately dream state comes into existence. Dreaming begins at that time. Is it not? You can imagine that, can't you? That the the dream, what we keep on dreaming about various things, thoughts coming through, chitavrti, vikalpam, everything that is going through, is only because the mind has moved. Movement has happened inside. As soon as the mind moves, the vibration begins inside. As soon as the vibration begins, then this huge creation comes in front of us. All kinds of thoughts, ideas develop from there, and then we get trapped in that. The world of mind. The world of the mind. We get trapped there. So that is what that is. Sometimes, why it is important to know this, this thing is this, that the what happens is, when in the Jagrat state, say in the Jagrat state, suppose everything becomes a dream state, everything in the Jagrat becomes a dream state, then that is where when they take us into lunatic asylum, when we, they call us as crazy. Just today, as we are now, we think we are all in a balanced state, isn't it? But strictly speaking, already somehow or the other, we keep it sit in a certain controlled way. Therefore, the madness is not coming out from inside. That is the fact, isn't it? The madness is not coming out because this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is in a particular balance it's kept. All three are mad state. None of them is real. None of them, all of them are crazy states. So in Jagrat, normally we have certain standard for Jagrat state, you do these things, isn't it? We have identified like this. In Jagrat, you behave in a proper way, you eat, you walk, you speak, all these things in the Jagrat state you do. Now, if these activities of the Jagrat state, if in Jagrat state, if it becomes a dream, all these things, then you are gone crazy. Then you have become crazy. In other words, what Krishna is saying here, in this Jagrat Sushupti state, he says here, that everything in the Jagrat state can become a dream. Can become a dream. Sometimes, you know, those people who take this LSD, and things like that, all the intoxicants, drugs. There was some time ago, I can't remember, it was reported in the newspaper, somebody, some young man in America, he has taken such heavy doses of drugs, some of these drugs, and then he looked through the window from a high-rise flat, some 14 or 15-story building. He was looking through the window, so he saw those birds flying at the same level of the window level. He says, why shouldn't I fly? He thought like that and jumped through the window. So what has happened there was that in Jagrat state, that keeps you under control, isn't it, in certain ways. But this is a dream state that I can fly like the birds. It's a dream state. So if the dream state gets into Jagrat state, then you are that state. What has happened to him? What has happened to that person? So sometimes if you analyze it about this Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, you can see that somehow or the other, by Krishna's mercy, that we are keeping some sort of balance between these three and getting through life day by day. Whereas if you lose that balance, you can be in that state where everything can go wrong, isn't it? Jagrat can be overpowered by Swapnam. Jagrat can be overpowered by Swapnam. If Swapnam encroaches into the Jagrat field and takes control of the Jagrat, then you are in trouble. Isn't it? So that's why it is said like that. So Jagrat state, this happens. So what happens is when you take, so for example, these drugs and all, you start feeling that unusual strength of doing that thing. Why? Because the identity with the Jagrat you have lost. And identity with the Swapnam has come a reality for you at that point. That's why they do these things. Then they get into involved in all these difficulties. For example, so or in other words, similarly, in dream state, if the identification of Jagrat comes, the same problem will happen. Suppose in the dream state, if identification with Jagrat comes, you suffer from that. Say for example, that in the dream state, suddenly a elephant has come to kill you. An elephant is chasing you, you are running, elephant is following you. Find that. And sometimes people cry in the dream state. Isn't it? They just cry of the, because they are so frightened, elephant has got so close to me, it's going to hit me any moment now. I come to that state, I get so frightened and I cry. Why? The reality of Jagrat has come into dream state. Reality of Jagrat has come into the dream state. You see? So, dream state can enter into Jagrat state. Jagrat state can enter into dream state as well, in the same way. So, so you can't trust any of these things. That's what I'm saying. That you can't trust any of these things. Whenever one encroaches to the another, there is madness. There is craziness. So you can't trust them. Sometimes you think certain people are very balanced, isn't it? We say about others, oh, he is a very balanced person. We say. But you can never say when they will get a different personality. At some point it can happen to them. These are all in relationship with the mind. All these things. What we are talking about, Jagral, Sapnam, Sushupti and all that, when we say in reference to the mind, it also means intelligence. Huh? They are all in one together. So, only in relationship with that, all these things are spoken. The body, the mind and all the other all the other expansions, for example, family and all our activity, and then Sushupti, deep sleep state, our laziness and ignorance, and all these things, when they are present, the knowledge of the soul will find it very difficult to get in. So you can see where the problem is. When we have the material body, the mind, and the qualities, the vikalpams of the mind, activities in relationship with those vikalpam, then the deep sleep, laziness, and the ignorance, and all these things do not allow the spiritual knowledge to enter inside, the knowledge of the soul. It blocks all that thing. Out of these two, chittavritti and nidra, two things. Chittavritti means the continuous flow of thought, which is the mind, and nidra, the sleep. When the chittavritti comes, or the thoughts are coming through completely, it is called vikshepam. It's called vikshepam. And when there is no vikshepam, it is called avaranam. Let's understand. In the mind, two things are happening. Constantly, thoughts are coming through and not allowing to accept the truth from the Shastram. It's not registering. You are hearing it, but it's not registering inside. It has gone through the ear, and somewhat it has gone through the intelligence and the mind. But because of the powerful vikalpam, vikalpam means this chittavritti or the thoughts inside, it's not registering inside. It comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, all the time. So that is called vikshepam. That's called vikshepam. When there is no vikshepam, there is a covering of the soul. There's a covering, a blanket-like thing which puts a curtain in front of us, not allowing that knowledge to go inside. Go inside means knowledge not able to manifest from inside. That is called avaranam. So, vikshepam and avaranam. In the Prabhupada has translated them as covering potency is the avaranam and deluding potency is the vikshepam. Isn't it? Deluding potency is the vikshepam, other one is the avaranam. So, if these two things are gone completely from inside, vikshepam and avaranam has gone, as soon as the spiritual master tells you that you are spirit soul, immediately you will get the realization, Aham Brahmasmi. As soon as the spiritual master tells the disciple that you are spirit soul, you are not this body, immediately we should experience Aham Brahmasmi at that point. That is the important thing. And the two things is this vikshepam and that avaranam inside. Those two things won't allow that to happen. Won't allow that to happen. So that is what the important thing here. So, and as soon as you realize you are Aham Brahmasmi, immediately you will realize everyone else is also Tattvamasi. The same Tattvam is present in all. So you can see how it leads into in a sequence. From when the Kshema Avaranam goes away from inside, immediately my pure identification as a spirit soul comes out. I am Brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi comes. As soon as Aham Brahmasmi is manifested inside, I will see other living entities also in the same state as me, as Tattvamasi. I am the same Tattvam. You are that. Tattvam. Tattvam is this. That they are also soul, not that body anymore. So, there is a big, long way to go to before we get to that state. So, Krishna says here that when there is chittavritti, we will think about something. We'll think about something. Otherwise, we won't think about anything. But at the same time, there is no experience of the soul either. So, this chittavritti, that chittavritti is there, or thoughts are coming through, that is called dream state. That's called dream state. So, and when there is no chittavritti, that state is called sleep. That state is called sleep. So, neither there is chittavritti nor there is sleep, but at the same time you are awake, that state is called that self-realization. There is no chittavritti, that means there is no mind, and you don't have that sleep. Chittavritti and sleep. Sleep is coming from sushupti state, isn't it? So that nidra or sleep, that is what is avaranam, is the problem in the sushupti state. In the other problem in the jagrat state is this chittavritti and the active mind. If you get rid of this active mind completely, and if you get rid of that deep sleep, nidra also from inside, and then still you are in the vacant state, that state is self-realization. Yeah? Self-realization state is an interesting state, isn't it? That we are absorbed in the mind to such an extent that mind has become our driver, mental chariot, as they say, isn't it? So, because of that, even when this is spoken, it takes a while to get that concept inside. First, we understand Jagrat, what we consider as Jagrat, that misunderstanding. Then our misunderstanding of the dream state, wake dream state, and then our misunderstanding of the deep sleep. Three misunderstandings there itself. Our present misunderstanding about the vacant state I have mentioned before, what it is, isn't it? Similarly, misunderstanding of the dream state and misunderstanding of the deep sleep also. But in the dream state, because the mind is active, there's a lot of chittavritti, therefore the mind creates another world and you get absorbed in that world, in the dream state. When you go into the deep sleep state, There is no problem with the mind, but this strong curtain, avaranam, is there. Therefore, although you have come out and the intelligence is saying that you had a good time in the deep sleep, you are still not able to say what it was. What is that has caused that experience in the deep sleep? Do you know what I'm saying? That the deep sleep state is an amazing state, isn't it? If you study Upanishads and understand the importance of deep sleep, one whole Upanishads is centered around deep sleep state. Whereas we ignore deep sleep. But it is in the deep sleep state, some of the most wonderful phenomenon of the spiritual life happens there. In the deep sleep state, not in the Jagrat state. In the Jagrat state, we make a lot of hullabaloo everywhere and everything, do a lot of things. But it remains in that state. But it is in the deep sleep. When you start analyzing yourself and seeing, looking, going inward, looking at that point, you'll see that it is in that deep sleep that you had the most amazing experience. Every morning when you wake up after a whole day of intense activities and fully exhausted, when you went to bed in the morning, completely revived and fully rejuvenated, ready for another day. Who has given that strength? We say, oh, you slept well, that's why. Who was doing that in the sleep? Just because I slept well doesn't mean that I'm going to get that strength back. That is Krishna's mercy. That is when Krishna says to the jiva, you had a hard day, come and stay with me for some time and I'll send you back in the morning. Krishna puts us back again into the same. So every day we are experiencing this and when still we don't take serious note of the presence of Krishna's inside. Krishna is functioning there all the time. So that's what it is mentioned there. No. So having said that, so so without sapnam, without dream state, without sleep, but in the vacant state, that is called the realized state. So, when there is no Jagrat state, it becomes into dream state. When there is no dream state, it becomes deep sleep. So, sometimes in the Upanishads it says that Sushupti state is called Brahmanubhavam, experience of Brahman. It is mentioned like that in the Upanishads. Reason for that, in that state, if you don't have the problem with the deep sleep, the Nidra at that time, and if you have no problem with the chitavritti inside, nothing is there, there is no emotions inside there, and purely you can experience your presence as the soul at that stage. Experience the presence of the soul. And that is why it is closer to the spiritual position in that deep sleep state than in other two states. And therefore it is mentioned like this, that Purna Bhodoham Asmi. I am that Purna Bhodam, and that is that Turiyam. Turiyam is that pure state which has to be attained by Krishna's mercy. Which has to be attained by Krishna's mercy. So Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti leaves that person at that point when he has reached that state. Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti leaves him. He doesn't have that state anymore. So if you look into the verse 29, you will see this. Mentioned there. Ahangarakradam bandham almano arthavyabaryayam vidwan nirvidya samsara chindam turiye sthidastyajed. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, ahangarakradam bandham almano arthavyabaryayam vidwan nirvidya samsara chindam turiye sthidastyajed. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, so long as you have an intelligence which is causing this material existence, samsara karanam. This is it. Ahankara kridam bandham altmano artha vyabhyayam. You see? Ahankara kridam bandham. Why did this happen? Because there is false ego inside. Ahankaram. Ahankaram is false ego. Ahankara kridam bandham. Yeah. So which means that due to this false ego inside, bondages happened. I am bound with this body, bound with the mind, bound with the senses. The complete bondage, what we are experiencing at the moment with the body, is due to ahankaram, false ego. False ego is causing that bondage. That's what Krishna says here, that bandham altmano artha vibhajayam. So, so long as it is there, and that is what is causing these three states. So, therefore, vidwan nirvidya samsara chintam turye sthita stejed.
Vidwan means one who is intelligent, or one who is knowledgeable person, vidwan.
That vidwan, what he should do? Nirvidya samsara chintam. Samsara chinda, or this material existence, what Krishna has spoken so far about material life, he should tejed, he should give it up, and turiye sthitas tejed, he should situate it in the turiyam state. Turiyam state is his state at that point, Krishna says here. So, you can see here, so in this 13th chapter, Krishna says, in the Jagrat state, enjoying all the sense objects, external sense objects, in the dream state, enjoying all the things inside the mind, and in the deep sleep, staying completely in the deep level of nidra or ignorance, in Sushupti, deep sleep state, Jiva is sitting like that, and and in between that, he says here, that the Jiva is going through a state, while these three are his normal life. Normal life means, normally that's where he is. In Jagrat state, busy with the sense objects. In the dream state, enjoying the mind. Mind brings your world, isn't it, in the dream state. And in the deep sleep, there is no world exists, no body exists, and enjoying that deep ignorance inside. Enjoying the deep, that avaranam or covering. That's what you are enjoying there. And that is the three normal states what we are going through. So Krishna says here, there is someone who is a witness to all these three things. And that is what he says in that verse later on. If you look into those famous verses in the in this 13th chapter, which is starting from the 32 onwards, from 32. From 32, Krishna says there that the that if you look into verse evam, that is 33. He says evam vimarsya gunado manasastravasta manmayaya maikrada iti nischidartaham samchidyahardham anumanasadukti tishnam jnanasino bhajada dekhila samshayadhim. Krishna says there that if you look into verse 33, the evam vimarsya gunado manasastravasta, because of the three modes of material nature, they have entered into it and created these three states, isn't it? When it says it has entered into intelligence, it has entered into the mind as well, same way. So, although you will call it as mind and intelligence separately, it has entered there, that's all it is. So, evam vimarsya gunado manasastravasta, man maya mai krita iti nischidartaha. So, one should know that these three states have come to me due to the influence of Maya. Due to the influence of Maya. To escape from this bondage is not an easy thing. We are thinking that there is a very shortcut for all these things. I don't know where there is any shortcut. The only shortcut, what Krishna is saying here, is that first thing you know that manasas trevasta, that three avastha has come from my Maya. You see, he says here, evam vimrashya gunado manasastravasta manmayaya mai krada iti nischidartaha. Manmayaya, my maya, as iti mai krada iti nischidartaha. You must first of all accept this and completely understand this principle, that Krishna's maya has created these three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature means Maya, isn't it? So those three modes of material nature has got inside into my mind and in intelligence, and that has created these three states of existence of Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti. Then Krishna says, Samchidyahardam anumanasam ukti deshnam jnanasinam bhajadade ekhila samshayadhim. So after knowing that, only option what you have got is, Krishna says, samchidya hardam మను హార్దమను మానస దుక్తి తీక్ష్ణజ్ఞానాసీనాం విచ్ ఈస్ ద మోస్ట్ డిఫికల్ట్ థింగ్. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ హీ సేస్ హియర్ దాట్ బికాస్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మాయా, ఆల్వేస్ బీయింగ్ అలర్ట్ అబౌట్ దాట్, ఆల్వేస్ బీయింగ్ అలర్ట్ అబౌట్ దాట్. అండ్ వాట్ ఎల్స్? కట్ త్రూ దిస్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ విచ్ హెస్ క్రియేటెడ్ through the power of knowledge. Krishna says, the power of knowledge, jnana ghalgam, that means the sword of knowledge. Cut through that, through the sword of knowledge, and simultaneously Krishna says, this can only happen through shravanam and mananam, through hearing and contemplation. This is our challenge. There is no other challenge in front of us. Making this whole world Krishna conscious is not our challenge. This is our challenge. If one person gets to this stage, cuts through this ignorance of the three modes of material nature, and comes to understand here his identity, who he is, through the power of the knowledge of hearing and realizing the truth, he has saved this world. One person has got out of this madness. That's what it means. At least one person has got out of this madness. Sometimes somebody asked a great sannyasi that what should I do to change this world? What should I do for that? He told him, you don't have to change the world. If you can escape from this madness, then at least one person has escaped. But don't worry about changing the rest of it, he said. That was his answer. Because this is on our mayas, another way of tricking us. Thinking that, I got this responsibility. Oh, I have to make sure that the whole world is Krishna conscious. I start thinking like that, and if you start going in that direction, at the end you will see that you are one of them who are there already. So that is not going to happen. That we can forget it. It's not going to happen. Many people have tried this. World has its own route to follow. That will go. But Krishna, what Krishna says here is that సంచిద్యహార్దం, కృష్ణ నెవర్ సైడ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్, సంచిద్యహార్దం అనుమానస దుక్తి తీక్ష్ణ జ్ఞానాసీనాం భజత దేగిల సంశయాధిం సమోదయాద్ త్రూ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ సోర్డ్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ జ్ఞానాసీనాం ఇఫ్ హీ అండ్ ఉక్తి తీక్ష్ణం అండ్ వెరీ షార్పెండ్ సోర్డ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇఫ్ దాట్ గెట్స్ ఇన్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్స్ బ్రేక్ అవే దట్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్ కట్ త్రూ దట్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ అండ్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ with his proper identification as the soul, and then he has escaped from that. That is what Krishna is asking the Kumaras to do in that time. Isn't it? Samshayat. So, he says here that Krishna is talking to Uddhava, and these are things which are very, very deep subjects. Very, very deep subjects. You can see the what Krishna is pointing at, what he is expecting, what he is telling Uddhava. And this can only happen when the mercy comes from Krishna. It is not possible by personal effort alone. So, he talked about the experience of the soul. Then, what will happen? Then the question will come, what will happen to all the vyavaharam in this world? Isn't it? Because although you have, say you have done everything, and somehow by Krishna's mercy you have come out of this body, and you have managed to escape from this identification with the body, identification with the world, everything. But still, there could be some vyavaharam left in this world. Vyavaharam can still happen. So, Krishna is saying there, even if that happens, even if he has to do some vyavaharam in this world, at least, he will not be bewildered by that vyavaharam. Normally, when we enter into vyavaharam, what happens? You know what vyavaharam means. Vyavaharam means the dealings in this world, isn't it? When you come out and start dealing with the world, you realize the problem. In the morning, I was not this body. But as soon as 10 o'clock comes, I start dealing with the world, I am this body. This is our state at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, vyavaharam turns the whole thing upside down in 1 minute. All that you have read, studied, contemplated and reflected, and fixed yourself something inside. As soon as you go out and start dealing with the world turns the whole thing upside down inside you. And that's what happens to all of us, isn't it? Krishna says that if by the power of this knowledge, if you have succeeded in cutting through that ignorance completely, through the Shravanam process and Mananam process, and if you have come to that platform of self-realization, there could still be some vyavaharam in this world, as long as the body is there. Some kind of vyavaharam will be there. But that vyavaharam, Krishna is saying here, will not disturb that person. He will only conduct it to the very minimum, what is necessary. And it will carry on like this. He will know while doing it that they are not reality. See, at the moment, what happens to all of us is, when we get into vyavaharam, we think vyavaharam is real, isn't it? We are unable to do vyavaharam with the understanding it's not real. That's not possible. It is will be there because, see, our the inside, the karmam and karma vasana inside, they have come out and engaged in karmam. Vasana has pushed us to engage in a karmam, particular karmam. So when it is engaged in karmam, the vasana is inside controlling that karmam. To what extent you should absorb in the karmam, to what extent you should separate from the karmam. Is it not? So because it is controlled like that, and we have no control on this vasana or on the karmam, it goes on like this. It goes on day after day in the same way. So that is why it is said, Krishna says here, that the jnanasinam, that is why Krishna used that word jnanasinam. Yet only when that knowledge of self-realization happens, only then you will come out of this ignorance. There is no other way. There is no other way. He says here, samchidya hardam manumanasa dukti tikshna jnanasinam bhajadam a akhila samshayadhim. He says, samchidyam, you have to break through that, cut through that. Hardam, anumanasadukti, tishnasnyanasinam. Through your power of that knowledge. What is the power of knowledge means? Power of knowledge means, from the Shastram, we have understood the truth on an intellectual level. Taking that on board and through reflection, making it as our realized knowledge. That is what that is talking about. As soon as it becomes a reality, as soon as you realize it, then you know that what Krishna says here, jnanasinam bhajadama akhila samshayadhim. At that point, all the samshayam, doubts goes away from inside. All doubts have gone from the person. So that is what he's saying here. Then he says here, drishtim tada. This verse is very important. All these verses are real Upanishads. In packaged form. Drishtim tada pradinivrtya nivrtta tishna stushnim bhaved nijasukha anubhavo niriha samdrishyade kojayaditam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhave smridirani padal. Drishtim tada pradinivrtya nivrtta tishna tushnim bhaved nijasukha anubhavo niriha samdrishyade koja yadidam avastu buddhya atyaktam brahmayana bhavel smriti anibadal. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it is not possible, it is not easy. Krishna is not saying it's a very easy thing to do. But first thing he says, drishtim dada pradinivarta. First of all, take your attention from sense objects. That's the only way to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere, isn't it? Drishtim dada pradinivartya. Just like the senses and sense objects, because of our strong conditioning, we had lived in this life for so many lifetimes, it's become, and we accepted this as reality, isn't it? So therefore, all sense objects and senses are important for us. These Bhagavatam verses are very difficult to digest. It is not easy. And it will take a long time to sink in what this is talking about, because it's a very difficult thing, so subtle and spoken in so subtle level also. Drishtim dada pradinivrtya nivrtta tishna tushnim bhavan nija sukhani bhavo niriha. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it is like this, that first withdraw your senses from the sense objects. Very easy to say, isn't it? Uddhava is saying, everywhere I look, I find something. interesting. That's what has become for us. That's what can you do for that now? It's something interesting anywhere, isn't it? So, drishtim tada pratinivartya. Take your attention away from that first. We have to learn that. So, in other words, just like, remember this example. You are in a railway station. And there are two tracks. There are two trains. Two trains on two tracks in a railway platform. It's standing there, next to each other. When you sit, you are sitting in one train, and you are looking at the other train. And other train starts moving. And you start thinking, oh, your train has started moving. Everyone has this experience, isn't it? Children especially make fun of that when they see that the train is moving. They say, they start moving, they start jumping. Actually, and then you, what can you do at that point? You take your attention from that side to this side, to the platform. Then you see that you are stable. You are not moving. The other train is moving. That's exactly what Krishna is saying here. Drishtim dada pratinivartya nivartya trishna. Take your attention from all other things. Because if you do that, what will happen? Slowly chittavritti will come down. Chittavritti is all created by the world outside, isn't it? They create huge chittavritti inside. And when there is so much chittavritti going on inside, there is no possibility of any kind of spiritual activity happening. It is not possible. And the more you get implicated in that, in deeper level, it gets more complex. Very, very difficult. It throws into a whole new world in front of you. So that's why Krishna is saying, drishtim tada pratinivartya. First you take your drishti, or your attention away from that. Nivartya trishna tushnim bhavan sukha bhave nija sukha anubhavo niriha. Krishna says here that even if they come in front of him, of a person, and due to prarabdham is there, that is why this body is there, isn't it? Prarabdham is this body. Prarabdham, you know what it means. That the body, what we have today, is called prarabdha shariram. Prarabdha shariram means millions and millions of vasanas inside. They are ready to fructify or to mature, for which material nature has given us a form. And that is this body, and it is called as prarabdha shariram. This body is called prarabdha shariram. So this prarabdha shariram is a tool for experiencing those vasanas which has come into fructified, which has fructified. So when we are sent here in this body, it's already decided, in this body you experience all these vasanas. Experience, enjoy so much, suffer so much, give trouble to so much to others, and then you can come back. It is with this understanding we have come here. We suffer ourselves, we enjoy ourselves, and we give a lot of trouble to others, and then we go. That's this whole thing is about, isn't it? So here, that is called prarabdha shariram. Prarabdham will forcefully act. That's why sometimes you think you have not done anything to anybody, still he comes and gives you trouble for nothing. That's not his fault. It's my fault or your fault, whatever it is, that I have some prarabdham to sort out with him. Some life I must have done something to him. And here he is now to square it up. He has come. You have not done anything to him. Completely left him on his own. And still he is after you. He says, no, I don't want to know anything about you. Get out of here, he says. So what else can you call it? What else? I don't even know the person, but he will be after you. He'll chase like that. So this is how prarabdham works. We have no control over all these things. Sometimes it is amazing, actually, when you think into prarabdham, even big, big leaders in this world, they get inimical each other. Sometimes I used to think when this Iraq war happened, American president was there only for 5 years, isn't it? He became so inimical to Saddam Hussein, and they became such big enemies to each other. Neither of them are going to be here permanent. Nor Saddam Hussein, nor George Bush. They were going to be permanent here. But that enmity, how that feeling of for each other, and that strong sentiments inside, that he is my enemy, I have to sort him out. Or somebody else is saying, oh, he is the aggressor, I have to sort him out. How that grew up inside so powerfully, and eventually developed into war, isn't it? Prabhupada used to say this in a very nice way, he used to put it. What Prabhupada said was very interesting. He says, you have come to this world, taken control of all the wealth of this world, which does not belong to you. You are only here for 50, 60 years. The world was there millions of years before you. And after you have gone, also millions of years will be, you will be, the world will be here. But in between, when you are here, you feel so ownership of this planet in so many ways that you start thinking that you are the controller of everything, and you take that strong position in this world. But because there is no knowledge, complete ignorance inside, whether they are leaders doesn't matter, but it is, the reality is like that, that you get into all kinds of problems. And if you don't use these resources, what you have, whatever you have got with you at the moment, for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's sake, what will happen, Prabhupada says, that one day, he says, that all the wealth will be taken from you and will be used gunpowder, swaha, and all in the form of artillery, swaha, or in the form of tornado, swaha, or in the form of all the wealth will be taken away. Deliberately, Krishna is saying that this state will come into our heads. Enmity and friendship will develop in that way, and war will develop. At that time means what? All resources will be directed towards in that direction. So Prabhupada was saying in this connection, at that time when he spoke this, just that the 1971, when that Bangladesh war happened. So at that time the government brought a particular, I think, order from the wealthy people to take huge amounts of money from them. They forced them to donate crores and crores of rupees from the big industrialists and businessmen. And Prabhupada was saying, all the money was taken out of them forcefully and said, gunpowder, swaha, and kola, everything was going like that, he said. So that is the way Prabhupada puts that. He says, this is what will happen to this. If the money, if it is belongs to Krishna, and Krishna has given us something, take so much possession of that without recognizing to whom it belongs to. Ishavasimidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunchida ma grida kasya siddhanam Ishavanishad. So you can see these principles you can't change. They will remain like that. These are the laws which govern the material nature, and that is not in our control. So here Krishna says here, then Atmanabhavam. So therefore, till the prarabdham is over, and whatever it does in front of him, immediately, if he is in knowledge, what will happen? He will ask the question, who has got it? Who is experiencing this? That question will come, provided he is in knowledge. If he is not in knowledge, he won't ask, and therefore it won't affect him. The moment he asks that question, who is experiencing this prarabdham? See, some distress comes in life. Even at that time, if you ask the question, who is experiencing the distress, immediately you will know it's a false ego, is that he's experiencing the distress, which is a false thing, which doesn't really exist. And he'll be able to tide over that distress in that way. That is what I'm saying. Therefore, all the sometimes the comparison is giving. Self-realized souls, their eyes are a dead goat's eye. In the olden days, apparently, that when the people had, they lost their eyesight, what they used to do, they used to take a goat's eye and put it there. Goat's eye and put it there. So that if you look at him, but it doesn't work. The eye doesn't work. It's like a dummy. It sits there. So if you look at him, you think that he's not blind. He's got eye. Maybe one eye works, other one doesn't work. But he's got the goat's eye there. So Jnani, or a realized soul, his eyes are like the goat's eye. Likes are the goat's eye. He's seeing everything, but he's not seeing anything. His eyes are not working anymore. Because drishtim dada pradanivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhavail sugabhavan bhavo niriha. That he has already withdrawn from the world. His eyes have been withdrawn from the world. So there is no contact with the sense objects anymore for the senses. He has come to reach that state already. drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta tishna tushnim. He says, tushnim bhaved nija sukhanubhavo niriham. So, similarly, his senses, although it is in the vyavaharam of this world, sometimes he may be experiencing, he is engaged in some kind of dealings in this world, but he will not be touched by any of these transactions. It will not disturb him, nor will it have any impact on him for a realized soul. What will happen to him is that he will do everything like anybody else does in this world. Getting up, walking, sleeping, eating, all kinds of things will be going on, but those things will not have any, he is already in the realized state inside. Inside it is realized. Externally, body may do so many things, but inside the screen is very clear. It's a completely clear screen inside. Not creating any chittavritti, not creating any vasana, no ragam, no dvesham, no kartrutvam, no bhurtrutvam, nothing. It's simply carried out by the body and has no impact on the cell, on the consciousness at all in that way. So that's why Krishna says here, and for such a person, the whole life is full of bliss at that state, because there is no happiness or distress. It's coming from the soul, what he experiences is. Saying this, Krishna has completed the 13th chapter. 13th chapter, Krishna has completed. In the next chapter is more. All you can see when you go through these verses more and more and you start thinking about it, you can see there is a lot of things Krishna has spoken there. It's a lot of things Krishna has spoken there. And so, Uddhava had a question, which is all of us have got in the beginning. Uddhava's question was, there are so many ways, isn't it, Uddhava says, to realize the self. Is this the only way to realize the self? He says. That's what he is asking. Bandho mukta iti vyakhyam. He says there in the next verse. So, in Uddhava says there, that this state is possible, I understand. But I have one question, he says, in the 14th chapter, he says, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Ega Mukhyadaham. Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, Krishna, you are saying like this, that this is the way. But I have a question, important question, he says. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam. And that has not been spoken by me. It's been spoken by very great personalities have spoken. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam. So, I have this problem in my mind. Uddhava says that, and he raised the question. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.